Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I am Sharon Lecter, your host, and I am absolutely delighted to introduce you to a superstar today. I've known Mari for many, many years, but we haven't really had time together. I know of her. We met years ago, but she's not the queen of Facebook. But not only that, she is the number one influencer on Facebook. And if you need to know how to use it, what's happening in Facebook, she's the expert to go to. And I'm so honored that she has agreed to spend a little bit of her time and her wisdom with us today to share all that she knows. She's written several books, and I'm not going to read through her bio, but The New Relationship Marketing is her, I think, latest book. Mm-hmm. And she's a keynote speaker. She helps corporations. She helps individuals, entrepreneurs. So we're going to talk a lot about the impact of social media, how best to do it, how she got started in it, and the advice that she has for someone right now with all the changes that are happening in social media. So Mari, thank you so much for being with me today.
My pleasure, Sharon. Thanks for the opportunity to make a contribution. I am honored.
Well, I'm excited. And I was just noticing this week that you are celebrating a second year anniversary of being a U.S. citizen. So again, I want to congratulate you, tell you we're very happy to have you as part of our community. You still have passports in other countries, but I'm just delighted to see that. So we're both wearing kind of a red orange. So that's great.
I know, we got the memo today.
So tell me, because you've been in this for a number of years, how did you get started? Because you got started probably before everybody realized how important social media would be. So tell me how you got started.
Yes. I joined Facebook on Star Wars Day of 2007. May the 4th be with you. I don't know why it was that day. It just happened to be that day. And I absolutely fell in love with it. Previously, I had careers where I had this parallel love of technology and people, the internet, and relationships. And I even had a mentor say to me one time, Mari, you can't do both. You can't be writing books on email marketing and be a relationship coach. And I'm like, oh yes, I can. And then all of a sudden this social media landed in my lap as a career. I joined Facebook and I just had this like magical moment. I'm like, oh, there's something here. I could feel the vibe and the frequency of it, that this was an opportunity, a platform through which we could pretty much connect with anybody in the world. And it literally was the defining moment in my career where my two loves fused and became one, the internet and people, technology and relationships. And that's something that's just been very close to my heart. Within about 3 weeks of joining, I was just grabbing everybody I knew saying, are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook? Let me show you how. Let me show you how you can use this awesome new platform to reach out and connect and develop relationships with people you might have thought you could never reach before. So I'm obviously, it's changed. That was 17 years ago. A lot's changed since then, but it still is the number one social network. And it's where I go first to connect with my family in Scotland and Canada. And of course, all of my
has made the world much more neighborly from a standpoint of being able to communicate instantaneously with everybody. And I think certainly, obviously, Instagram, TikTok, all those have come online in the social media space. But I do believe Facebook is probably still the number one champion on that. But mm-hmm. I in my own life, I've had the experience where I had my Facebook account hacked and stolen. It took me a year to get it back. And, there are lots of things that happen within the world of Facebook. And certainly the algorithms get changed all the time. And so you really need to be on top of the game and understand what's working and what's not. And that's why it's so important to have someone like you guiding us through that. So tell me a little bit about the mistakes that you're seeing people make on Facebook now. I know there's been lots of different mistakes, but right now, what are some of the things people are doing that are probably not helping them?
You know, there's a number, and I would say at the top of my list would probably be an abandoned shopfront where people have gotten disillusioned, jaded, frustrated, overwhelmed with Facebook not producing the results that they used to. You know, back in the day, we used to get like 300% reach before the company went public. That was 2012. So ever since the company went public, it's really been kind of a diminishing returns in terms of your organic. And they're moving to this whole pay to play. They want you to advertise. They want you to boost your posts. At the same time, there's an inordinately greater volume of people on the platform. Now it's 4 billion across the whole family of apps, 3 billion of which are on Facebook. So there's more competition in the feed. And so a mistake is where you've taken time to build up a page. This is the business page, not necessarily the personal profile where you have friends. But you know, you have assets there. You maybe started it years ago. You've got followers, and then it's just abandoned. It's like a ghost town. So that's unfortunate. That to me, when I see that, and I go and I often will do critiques on hot seats in my different classes, and people will ask for feedback. And so I go through and I see, wow, you know, you haven't posted in maybe 6 months or a year. That's a big mistake. Alternatively, you know, it's funny, Sharon, the flip of that is I will see folks that have maybe, I don't know where they learned this, but they think that the name of the game is volume of content. I see this a lot on Instagram in particular, and where it's just blasting people with numerous posts a day. And that can actually have the opposite effect where they think, okay, I can't reach as many people. Let me just do more content, increase the volume. And that's not really the answer either. So I would regulate that to maximum maybe once a day or even a few times a week is just fine, depending on your nature of your business. If you're in mainstream news media, yeah, you want to be updating your audience a few times a day. But I would say probably from a business standpoint, one of the top mistakes, no matter how often you post, is not including calls to actions, not making it clear what you want people to do when they've seen your post. One single little isolated post in their feed, they don't really come back and look at your profile once they followed you. Or what we're seeing now more and more today is as much as half of the content that people see in their feeds, Instagram, Facebook, same thing, TikTok, YouTube, it's decided for you, it's chosen for you through the AI powered discovery engine that it knows you better than you think, you know, what you want to see, they're going to choose for you. So that the downside of that is you don't maybe see as much of the content from your people that you've chosen to follow, friends and family and businesses. But the upside of that from a business standpoint is you could potentially reach a lot more people that haven't heard of you or don't know about you. So, but anyway, that would be what I would say. Bottom line is make it obvious what you offer and to whom, and remember that each post is typically seen isolated in the feed. So put those calls to actions and don't be afraid. Even something simple like DM me, you know, DM for more details, and you maybe got a chatbot automation set up.
Yeah, I love that. Now, you mentioned AI, so I have another question that I was going to raise, but before we go on, let's talk about, obviously, we all know that AI is kind of taking over the world by storm right now, and it's something I teach about, intellectual property impact of AI, but talk about the power, both positive and negative AI when it comes to Facebook.
Sure. So funny because Facebook or Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, they almost always seem to play catch up. Everybody else innovates and creates new things, and then Meta, Zuckerberg, they jump. Okay, hey, us too. We've got more money than anybody else. So they're investing like crazy, and eventually, supposedly, they're going to be creating open source artificial general intelligence. But right now they got the Meta AI. So meta.ai you can go to, and it functions very much like ChatGPT. You can get answers to pretty much anything on the planet. They've got the image generator. They've baked it right into the Meta Ads Manager. It's fairly rudimentary insofar as it will give you different headlines, different copy for your ads. If you upload an image, it will give you different variations. Eventually, we're going to see AI baked into absolutely everything that Meta does, including, for instance, the Meta Business Suite, where you would go to schedule content to Facebook and Instagram, press a few buttons, it will make content for you or make it better. So there's a lot of good positives, and the downsides for sure I'm seeing across the board is a distinct diminishing or even complete erosion of trust. And I feel it in my own self, in my own body, when I'm like thumbing through content, usually happens on Instagram, on Facebook, sometimes Instagram. And so I'm hovering over the like or the wow or the love button. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I somehow quickly get this like gnawing feeling in my gut going, that's not real. Like, for example, the total solar eclipse we had earlier this year, I couldn't believe how many fake images were like, there's one like the Niagara Falls and there's like 7,000 shares. And I'm like, that's not it. They didn't even get the dimensions of the skyline proper or whatever. But anyway, I think that this, it's challenging because one of the things I put in a lot of my talks is that authenticity is making a comeback because back in the day,
thank God,
right? when social first started, that was like the war cry. It was beating this drum. Oh, number one rule of social media, be authentic. And it got so overused. People are like, oh, what does it even mean anymore? You know, oh, I'm being authentic. Here's me eating my breakfast with no makeup on. It's like, okay, I really don't want to see that.
I know. It's like, I really don't want to see what you had for breakfast, lunch.
Exactly, right? Whereas now it's like, no, that's what we're doing here today, Sharon. It's like, these are not avatars of ourselves. These are the real Sharon, the real Mari. We're having a real conversation. And you just can't replace that with AI. So the more people can lean into that deep, personal, intimate connections, doing lives, doing videos, I think in-person events are eventually going to make much more of an impact. Maybe smaller, more intimate groups, because people really crave that human connection. We're not getting up right in the morning going, I can't wait to interact with that microchip, you know?
Yes. Well, obviously COVID threw everybody into a communication in this manner. And it's really nice. I have a live in-person event tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So it's something that, you know, we want to get back that face-to-face. I can't even say eyeball to eyeball because we have that here, but you know, face-to-face being with other people is something that I think is so important just from a human relationship perspective. So yes. The other aspect that I wanted to ask you about, because it's what I find with a lot of my clients, they have hired somebody to help with their social media. But as their business mentor, I'm asking them questions and they don't understand the stats. They don't understand, you know, is this working? They're not doing the analytics to determine the impact of what they're doing and the success of it. So talk a little bit about how important that is.
The metrics, measuring the metrics that matter. It has been astonishing to me over the years being in the social media arena for 17 years, how many businesses still today have been led to believe that success on social media is about, quote, vanity metrics, or I call them proxy metrics. Sheryl Sandberg used to be the COO of Meta. She would call them proxy metrics. They are important. They're needed. They are not the be-all, end-all. They're not the bottom line. So that's everything from follower growth to reach to engagement to video views. Whereas, oh, now I'm thinking, great, okay, put all your metrics in that bucket. That's one bucket, one category. The second category, what I call business metrics, and in the social media marketing terms, that's simply traffic to your offers, leads, subscribers, phone calls, whatever it might be. I mean, phone numbers. And sales, bottom line sales. And then you need to be able to track those proxy metrics through to the business metrics. And like you just said, I have been astonished myself too of how many businesses of all sizes out there, they work with agencies or they work with ad professionals that don't really necessarily know what they're doing. They don't really have the right strategy. They don't produce the right results for the amount of investment. And the amount of people have come to me over the years and said, hey, Mari, you know, I'm locked into this 6-month contract and we've spent 30 grand so far and we haven't got any ROI. I'm halfway through the contract. I'm like, that's not normal. Stop the presses. You know, you have to get out of the contract or at least, you know, make it work. But yeah, it's sad what can happen out there if you don't know what you're doing with the numbers.
So what about, let's talk about the difference between organic impact and paid for impact as it relates to marketing.
You know, what's interesting is we mentioned about abandoned ghost town pages earlier, and that is because it has gotten a lot harder to get organic results on the page. However, there's other aspects of Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is, for a lot of people, a lot easier to use. It's mostly made and consumed on mobile. Whereas on Facebook, you've got groups. I love groups. I run a very successful Facebook group. It's about 25,000 social media professionals. And then in the last couple of years, what Facebook's done is they've allowed us with our personal profiles to enable what's called professional mode. And in essence, that's kind of like the business version of a personal profile. You get access to metrics. You can now see your reach on your post. You get access to the boost button. You get access to various different features and then the professional dashboard. And if you focus a little bit more on the reels, the short form video, vertical videos, you can potentially get a lot more reach. And so, for example, some of my colleagues have grown to over 1 million followers just focusing almost exclusively on using their personal profile as opposed to a business page. And it's all organic. And so there's that aspect of it. At the same time, I know I work with a lot of different businesses of all sizes. And I will say to folks, you know, ads, you know, paid placement should always be seen as an investment. It's not an expense. It is an investment that you want to absolutely get a return of ROAS, return on ad spend, or return on investment, such that you can exponentially scale your business, so long as that's part of your vision and what you want to do. But there is no other opportunity or platform in the world that offers such incredible targeted traffic than Facebook, because of all the data points that they have on us, you know. Right. And speaking of, by the way, AI, the AI knows, it knows so well the audiences of how to reach the exact people that you're trying to target with your ads.
Yeah, that's one of the first questions I ask my audience when they, my clients, when they have somebody helping them on social media, is how are they selecting the target audience? You know, are they, you know, so many times they just like throw it out there without using the science to look at what their target is. So talk about the importance of target audience.
Well, what's amazing, Sharon, is that over the last probably year or 2 years, Meta has really dialed in this aspect they called Advantage Plus, the little plus sign, Advantage Plus audience. They also have it for shopping. It's really good for e-commerce businesses, where because of all of this, the data points, because of the brilliance of the AI and the ML, it's called, right, the machine learning, you would simply give it some basic parameters, unless you're a specific local business that you're like a realtor or something, or you have a physical store, you only wanting a certain catchment within a zip code, then that makes sense to really dial it down. But generally speaking, you can give fairly broad parameters to Meta, and then you just go, okay, hands off. All right, do the work for me. And it's going to find it, the AI, the machine learning ad placement with the Advantage Plus is going to go out and find you the right people to place your ads in front of. So back in the day, we used to have to be so skilled as advertisers to get the real granular data points with the advertising. Now we can surrender a lot more and just let the AI do it for us and give it a few days to train. It'll always be in a learning phase in the first few days. And then, you know, you're always going to keep going in and look at the metrics and make sure it's performing. But yeah, that I think is a really good use of AI for sure.
So I hope everybody listened to that, rewind and take notes about what she just said, because I'm taking notes in this conversation I'm going to have with my social media team, see if they're doing that. So everybody in the back of their mind, how do we make money through Facebook? Because things have changed over the years. So share, you know, that's one of the biggest questions, most effective ways to make money using, well, not just Facebook, all of social media.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is these big tech companies, Meta, YouTube, TikTok, they're pushing so hard this creator economy agenda. Monetize your content, create more rules. It's I call them meta marionettes. You know, Zuckerberg says jump, everybody says how high. The thing is, with that as a business model, waiting for third-party payouts is not sustainable. But they changed the rules, and now you're like, I was relying on that income. These are like the bonuses, maybe ad revenue share. That's wonderful. If you're getting great money doing that, great. Just make sure you have other streams of income. my recommendation always for 20 years, even before I got into social media, but just with internet marketing in general, is you monetize through your offers, right? And now what social media has brought to the table is it's an amplifier. It just turns up the volume on the message that you're putting out there. So for example, I love to do campaigns. So I do a lot of online courses, training programs, mentorship and whatnot. So I'll do a campaign where there's a big push in a limited time frame. You know, the marketing world, get the carts open and the cart closes and so on. You have affiliates promoting. You're just seen everywhere. I call it radical strategic visibility. So you're seen everywhere in all the right
radical
places.
Strategic visibility. I love
yes.
that term.
Yes.
Write that down.
RSV. Yeah, exactly. So maybe you've got some affiliates. You're doing affiliate marketing. It could be that brand ambassador. That's been a significant source of revenue for me over the years. And once you've established a reasonable size audience, doesn't have to be massive, even 10,000 followers, a brand will come along and pay you to talk to your audience. If you have a good relationship with them and they respond, the audience members, but there's no question selling your own products and through organic and paid, maybe having a group, deploying a chat automation. So people make a comment. You'll see that a lot on Instagram, you know, comment the word, free download and it automatically sends them a DM with a link. So yeah, there's great ways to monetize that way.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are making use of those bots right now. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So from a standpoint of, You offer so many different ways for people to learn about social media and monetizing. So what's the best way for people to find you, Mari?
To find me? Oh, I would say, well, my website, marismith.com, but really on any of the socials, I'm active every day on Facebook and my at Mari Smith is my page. And then my personal profile is at Mari S and my social scoop. My main Facebook group is called Social Scoop. And it's a wonderful place to get support for your social media marketing. And
for everybody watching and listening, Mari has agreed, and I'm so excited. She's going to be joining our International Women's Summit with Real Success in July of this year, 25th to 26th. I'm so delighted to be able to highlight you because it's about women finding their voice, right? Standing in their power and creating maximum impact. And so Mari is going to be sharing her brilliance with that as well. And we'll put the link for joining us in the show notes. But if you want to understand what's happening in the world of social media, there is no better resource than Mari Smith. So Mari, you and I started talking off camera about the project that you're involved in. So share a little bit about the project that you're working on right now.
Oh, sure. Thanks for asking. My passion project for the last 4 years has been professional studies of the human design system. It's been around since the late 80s. It has a personal implication or application, spiritual, but also business and financial. It is a profound system that's a fusion. It's a synthesis of astrology, the I Ching, quantum physics, genetics. And I have always been a fan of like typing systems, DISC, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, there's a million of them. And they're great and they have their place. This one, in essence, I wouldn't call it a typing system. It really is a profound body of knowledge to help you know yourself and others better, such that you can be more of you. You can go on the hero's journey and really find your bliss, do your bliss in this lifetime and stop being what you're not here to do or be. And so I'm working with some businesses right now. I just love the business application of it to help restructure organizations such that the right people are in the right roles and they will absolutely flourish much more effectively using the human design system.
Yeah, I love that. I'll be anxious to see how that blossoms with your input and additional creativity added to it. So I think
Thank you. It's fantastic.
And you've agreed to hang in there with me for a little bit for a second recording that we're going to be doing for the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement. So if you are watching and listening and you're not a member of that group, please join it because it's about people who want to be number one in their field, to live their legacy, because your legacy is created every single day with every heart you touch, and to create maximum impact. So this is a group of people who come together and say, we want to play a bigger game. And so Mari is going to be my guest in there for a little additional resource about talking about how to come back from a bounce back from something that is not positive in your business or your life, and then also about daily success habits. So thank you for hanging in there with Mari, and I appreciate it. So why don't we wrap up with a little bit of advice for those watching and listening that have listened to you this whole time? And what's their first step they should do as to where they need to assess where they are social media wise?
I would say to pick one platform, depending on where they're at. Of course, it does depend. But to pick the platform that lights you up, the most. If you're just like, so for me, for example, I do not do TikTok. But if that's your jam and you're loving it and you're seeing some results, awesome. But I see people that, oh, I'm so over Facebook. No, Mari, don't tell me to do Facebook. I love Instagram better. Great. Lean heavily into that. Really get good at doing your videos, your short form video reels. If you're comfortable being on camera, beautiful. But you don't have to be. You can make video content from B-roll, from moving images, from narrating slides, whatever it might be. But just really lean into one platform in particular, building up that social equity, being clear with your calls to action, letting people know who you are, what you do, who you're for, how they can sign up with you, because that's ultimately what you want to do is create conversions with all your social media activity.
I love that. That's fantastic. So you've heard it here. Now, I hope you had paper and pen. If not, rewind and re-listen to this. Share it with everyone you know, because truly the amount of gold that Mari has shared today is immeasurable. So, but don't just take the notes. Apply the knowledge, and only you can do that and make that decision. So Mari, again, thank you so much. I appreciate you being with me today. And for all of you watching and listening, thank you for taking part of this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm delighted. You are fantastic. Go out and have a fabulous day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.